This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. We've now topped 4 million cases of coronavirus in the United States. Just yesterday, Florida once again had more than 100 deaths. In Michigan, there were 699 new cases reported Thursday and an additional 7 fatalities. Meantime, the financial hardship caused by the pandemic continues to ripple through households and the broader economy. And unemployment benefits, those are set to end this weekend, barring quick action in Washington. Most every Friday, we check in with 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell for insights on these issues from a federal perspective. And it's good to be with you once again.
Good morning, David. I love being on with you every Friday, but I wish that we could see the future where COVID was going to end and we didn't have to talk. And I don't think that's in either of our lives or our listeners in the near future.
Well, I am right with you on that, and hopefully we get to that point and sooner rather than later. In the interim, Republicans, they have never taken up that HEROES Act passed by the Democratic-led House. That would be the follow-up to the CARES Act. As the Senate works towards presenting its own measure, some progress was reported yesterday. Senate Republicans got President Trump to drop his demand for a cut in payroll taxes. They agreed on another round of $1,200 stimulus checks to individuals. There's movement towards extending the additional $600 a month in employment benefits that are expiring. Yesterday, you and some of your Democratic colleagues asked the Senate to extend those benefits. Did you get a response?
We're still working it. You know, the United States Senate tends not to act until there's a deadline that they're up against. And I don't know what's going to happen, David. We have been pushing for this for 2 months. You know, at the beginning of the pandemic, I was getting thousands of calls, people scared about unemployment, other issues. I'm still getting hundreds of calls. But the numbers of calls are doubling and tripling each day again as we get closer to that deadline. I can't believe that the senators are not getting the same calls that I am. People are scared. They're about to go off a cliff next week. When you talk about making sure they've got something that they're going to be able to live on for a period of time, they're worried about their rent, they're worried about their mortgages, payments. I've had people calling me about where to get food. They don't know how they're going to feed their children. And I keep saying the United States Senate has to act. They know they're getting the same calls I do. And then I remind myself that they shut the government down and they didn't care about how government workers were being impacted. I am continuing to pray. Hope will not leave. I'm going to stay in Washington this weekend to work with Nancy Pelosi to get us to that place. I myself am meeting with senators over the weekend, but I can't make anybody promises on this phone call. It's the United States Senate we're talking about, and it's a White House that is not predictable, reliable, or dependable. So I'm going to do everything I can to help the people of my district, my state, and my country.
What we do know is that the Senate Republicans' plan is to make their proposal a $1 trillion package. The Democrat-led House's HEROES Act proposal was a $3 trillion proposal. Where do you think we ultimately land on a new package when it comes to money?
I think it's got to go to at least $2 trillion. The package, so they apparently came to agreement Wednesday night, among them, not in the Senate, but among Republicans in the Senate and the White House a little, about what the package would be. It fell apart yesterday morning. But even in that package that they agreed to, there was zero help for state and local, for city governments, municipal governments, which are in desperate need. And as we're talking about what's going to happen to schools this fall, that's another critical need. They had $0 in there for that. They didn't have anything to help people in the election this fall. And they really had the president trying to reduce money for testing and tracing. Those lined in the sand is direct aid to the cities for us.
So there's no longer any guarantee, as you once thought, that this will be done by the end of the month?
Nope.
Okay.
But we're going to keep working to get there, and if we don't get it, I hope people just keep telling their senators we have to do something.
Our conversation with 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell continues on 89.1 WEMU. And I do want to touch on a different subject today than the way we've usually spent our Fridays. The environment scored a win this week with passage of the Great Americans Outdoors Act. It's going to provide permanent funding for the Land and Water Conservation Fund at a level of $900 million annually and establish the National Parks and Public Land Legacy Restoration Fund. Now, this was an important environmental policy issue, but it's also a matter of personal importance to you and the Dingell family, right?
Well, you know, the Dingell family has been known for its conservation efforts for a very long time. John, at a time when members didn't even care about the environment, started that in 1964, wrote the bill himself, the land, the LCWF bill. And he and Don Young introduced the bill that passed yesterday in the 90s. So it's more than 50 years, five decades of work, of bipartisan work. Don Young and John hunted and fished together, and they knew the importance of protecting our natural resources. So, you know, some people get very frustrated. I do, that we have to do something about immediate help now. But there are things like this that should have been addressed a long time ago to protect our natural resources. Since the Land and Water Conservation Fund was funded, it's really only had full funding twice in that period of time. Now it will be funded, and we're going to protect our country's natural resources. And I thought it's been a hard week. I thought of John a lot, but I knew he would be really proud that what work he started in 1964 will finally be signed by a president of the United States.
To continue on the environmental track for a moment, the Michigan legislature this week adopted more stringent regulation for the amount of PFAS allowed in drinking water. With these new rules, Michigan has some of the toughest standards for PFAS in the nation. That's on the good side, news side of the ledger. But also this week, you had to vote against the National Defense Authorization Act because, in your words, it failed to include provisions for PFAS drinking water and contamination standards. Is the federal government going to catch up to Michigan on this issue that affects virtually every state in the country?
We have to. I'm continuing to. I actually had four PFAS amendments passed yesterday on another appropriations bill. And we'll keep pushing. Someone said to me, why are you pushing so hard? Why don't you just wait till Joe Biden gets elected and then you can get this done? Joe Biden did include this in his environmental package last week. After I had spoken to him about it, but other people have too. It's critical. We do not have a national safe drinking water standard for a chemical that we know it's in drinking water, and when it goes into your body, we know it doesn't leave it, and we know it can cause real physical harm. It can cause cancers. It can cause liver disease and other things. But if we can move anything now, we save one person from being harmed from PFAS because we accelerated it by a month or a week. To me, that's worth it. I'm going to keep up the fight. And if we don't get it done, this is what's called how you get a bill down and you get a law down in perseverance. This will be introduced the very first day of the new Congress, when I'm confident we're going to elect Joe Biden president. We will move it out of the House in very early days and get it done next year. People need a safe drinking water standard, David.
Once again, this is 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, and I want to conclude our conversation today by talking a little about John Lewis. The distinguished congressman and civil rights activist passed away and will lie in state at the Capitol Rotunda next week. You've had the opportunity to work with Mr. Lewis. Your husband and predecessor, John Dingell, had a working and personal relationship with Mr. Lewis. What did he mean to you?
John Lewis was one of my dearest friends. John met him in the early 60s. When I married John in 1980, I met John Lewis. He was his friend. And I worked with him for 40 years, almost. You know, John Lewis taught us so many things. He was always kind. He was always gentle. He taught us all about good trouble, getting into good trouble. And when you see something that's wrong, you have a responsibility to just stand up and speak up. But he was a very calm, gentle man. He did not believe in violence. He believed in hope and optimism. And he believed, one of the last things he said to me, by the way, I saw him maybe 3 to 4 weeks ago, and he had seen me in a picture from Allen Park, Michigan, lying with the young people. And he told me how proud he was that I was with them. He told me to listen to them, to guide them, to be there for them, to teach the next generation. And he's a man that loved his country and was working towards making sure we knew that America was a family. And he wanted us to work towards that American community, one family.
His patient work and dedication brought us a long way from when he took to the podium at the National March on Washington in 1963 alongside Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And as he passes, we're on the precipice of more landmark change, change that would likely not be possible without his leadership over the decades. We talk a lot about monuments this day. Should one be erected in honor of Representative Lewis?
Well, I think a lot of us are talking about different things. But I think probably one of the wisest things we might think about is renaming the bridge at Selma after John Lewis, which was where his skull was fractured, which he led many in the midst of the civil rights movement to stand up. And so many of us traveled back to be with him and to understand. I think that would be probably one of the best monuments we could build for him.
Thank you so much for the time today, and we'll check again with you next Friday.
Thank you, David. Everybody be safe. Wear your mask.
That is 12th District Representative Debbie Dingell. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.